CliffCentral.com. A lot of people are kind of a little disillusioned with what's going on in the world, and they want to be able to move around freely. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. In fact, I completely and wholeheartedly support it. I think that you are able to decide in the 21st century where you would like to put your productivity, where you'd like to be a useful and helpful citizen, and you might want to go to countries all over the world. The best options for South Africans who want to chase the American dream, and that's obviously the group's name here, the American Dream. They're specialists in EB-5 investments. They're going to tell us some of the options that we can explore and consider. So, find out all about the team from American Dream. They've got a dedicated team of people of EB-5 experts who are going to identify and structure EB-5 products and projects that maximize the success of visa applications while providing capital to qualifying development projects. You need to know the rules. You need to know what's going on here in order to make maximal use of it. And that's what we thought we would do this morning, is help you figure it out, help you to be part of, you know, the informed series of, or rather the informed group of South Africans who are making these moves with all the information that they can possibly get at hand. So we're going to speak to Leon Fashfeldt and to Stuart Ferguson. Gentlemen, it's a pleasure to have you here. Thank you for joining us this morning. Yeah, nice to see you.
Thank you.
And hopefully you can help us to navigate our way through this. Clearly this has become something that a lot of South Africans are interested in. A lot of South Africans are making moves. They're able to determine a place where their labor is most maximally used, and where they can put themselves and their families in the best possible situation and position. And that's something which you can help people to do.
Absolutely, yes.
I mean, moving to America seems to be something that for the last 100 years people have considered to be a move that's positive for your family, for your potential, your ability to earn, your ability to be part of a society that is moving forward. The American economy is booming at the moment.
Absolutely.
Lots of people want to be part of that, right?
Absolutely, Gareth. I mean, the surge of inquiries that we've had in the last year has just been absolutely phenomenal. I mean, I've been involved in the EB-5 arena, mm-hmm. specifically focusing.
What is EB-5? Let's start with that.
Yeah, EB-5 in a very simple form is it stands for Employment Based Program Number 5.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a federal underwritten program. Certain regional centers, which are legal entities, are authorized by immigration and also have various securities warranties.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a fully regulated program.
So this is because countries like America want to attract the talent, and they want to create a space that is navigable for people who want to join the American economy, who want to be a part of that society, and they fast track the people most useful to them.
Correct.
Is that what it is?
It's an investment visa. So,
right.
So they're looking to lure sophisticated, high net worth individuals, mm-hmm. who are going to contribute towards the American economy, and in an indirect way, provide Americans with jobs.
So, Stuart, how did you get involved in this? Is it something you've been doing for some time?
I've been involved for the last in excess of 10 years. Mm-hmm. It was actually by default. We were a South African consortium who had been buying various properties for a long period of time in the U.S. And it was during the subprime crisis when we had some greenfields developments that we were looking to develop. And we were looking for a mechanism to unlock additional equity into those projects.
Mm-hmm.
And we, by default, came across the EB-5 program and realized that we could lure South Africans who would co-invest with us at cost, and by virtue of us constructing and developing, they would be providing the required 10 jobs for Americans. And that's how we got into the EB-5 arena. And we subsequently there evolved to having representation in Shanghai, Beijing, because obviously the Chinese are very prolific under the EB-5 program. Mm-hmm. We've now got office representation in the UAE and India. Hmm. India is a very large marketplace. And just recently started being very active in Vietnam. So the popularity of EB-5 is quite extensive.
I would imagine a lot of people are looking at America right now because, as we discussed, the economy seems to be growing. Unemployment is right down. They're looking for ways to find the very best people who are going to add value to that society. And if they come from South Africa, or they come from India, or they come from China, or wherever else, they're only too happy to have them, especially if they're putting money in, right?
Absolutely.
So, Leon, how did you get involved in this?
So, I I graduated from Takiso Bio, and from there...
Me too, I'm sorry.
I practiced here for a little bit, and then I immigrated to the United States myself. So I navigated the immigration system and currently practicing law in the United States.
How hard was it for you to do?
So I practiced law in the state of Missouri, which is right in the middle of the country, and there was a requirement in most jurisdictions that require you to have graduated from an accredited American law school. I actually filed an ex parte petition with the Missouri Supreme Court asking them to waive that requirement and allow me just to go sit for the bar. It was a little bit challenging, but they ultimately ended up allowing me to do so.
Mm-hmm.
And then having their blessing to go write the bar, I wrote the bar and practiced law there for a little bit. I did a variety of litigation prior to getting into immigration, but, you know, like an old law professor in Pretoria said, the first day of law school, he asked, so what are you going to specialize in? And, you know, people would say, I'm going to specialize in bankruptcy. There was no way that I was going to think at that point in time, I'm going to specialize in immigration.
Immigration, sure.
But he made a very valid point. He said, you're going to specialize in what your clients are going to tell you to specialize in, because you can be the best bankruptcy lawyer, mm-hmm. but if you don't have clients, you know, you're not going to specialize in anything. Mm-hmm. My practice gravitated towards immigration to a great extent. Out of the middle of the country, where some of my colleagues asked me, how is it possible that you don't speak a lick of Spanish and you're in the middle of the country, and how is it possible that you can be successful? I mean, immigration is federally regulated, so we represent people from all over the country who wants to immigrate to the United States.
All right.
And so,
are a lot of South Africans coming to you guys at the moment?
There are. You know, when we first got started, my partner, his name is Etienne Hugo. He practices law, also graduated from Turkey and went to Australia.
Okay.
There was a bigger search for clients from South Africa going to Australia at the time when we got together, and not too much coming to the United States. Always kind of been a little bit of a challenging. The law hasn't changed.
No, but you know, do you think that's because South Africans look at Australia and they say, well, both Southern Hemisphere countries, reasonably similar culture in some ways? I mean, America's got... I would find more in common, I think, with a Texan than I would with an Australian.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think a lot of people have come to find that to be the truth.
Yeah.
I think at the time, it was an easy transition from the Southern Hemisphere to go into the schools. I mean, we start our school halfway in the middle of the year.
Is that what it is? It's kids mostly.
Kids mostly make the decisions, right?
Yeah. Or make parents make the decisions they make.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So, this EB-5 thing, what are the... Give me the basics of what I need to fulfill in terms of requirements. If I wanted to go to America, how would I comply with the requirements of these federal?
Quite simple, Gareth. There are only two requirements. One, you can't be a hardened criminal, and B, source of funds has got to come from a legitimate source. And that really is the only criteria.
That's it.
That's it. There's no age limit. There is no educational requirements. There are no... the medicals are pretty non-invasive. They really just check for TB. So long as you are not a hardened criminal and have money that comes from legitimate sources.
How much
sources.
Do you need to use? How much do you need to find? How much do you need to pay over?
Your capital contribution into a project is $500,000 USD, and that typically gets locked away for 5 years.
Okay.
It gets locked away or invested in that project for 5 years because that is really the immigration timelines that you'll follow, and Leon will go into a bit of detail on that shortly.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously you've got additional admin fees which get paid to your facilitators, and then you've got legal fees. So you would engage with Leon as your legal representative, and he holds your hand through the process. So all in all, dependent on the project that you're investing into, it's between $560,000 and about $580,000.
Okay.
You know, when I visit with some of these investors, I say, I don't want to oversimplify it, but it boils down to two basic questions. Can you get me a green card?
Mm-hmm.
And can I get my money back at the end of the day? This is, after all, an investment, and a lot of people
You're not giving $500,000 to the U.S. government.
Exactly, exactly. So it is an investment.
And the green card, is that hard to get?
It is. I mean, you know, like Stuart was alluding to, this green card, the EB-5 process, is just one option. I mean, there's a variety of different other options in order to get permanent residency. The one popular one, obviously, being married to a U.S. citizen. But there's other ways to get it.
Yes, I know lots of South Africans who've thought about that. Seriously. I have friends who've honestly thought that the best way for them to get into the U.S. is to marry some woman that they just met on the internet.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, we have represented quite a variety of extraordinary people from South Africa.
Sure.
Who have actually have got into the EB1 category, wherein
is that you need special skills.
It's not quite special skill. You need to show that you are extraordinary in your field. Like some boxers who've won some, you know, big championships over here.
Okay.
Some athletes who've played, you know, for the Springboks, you know, hockey.
Well, there we are, Leanne. That's your way in.
So, I mean, there's some other ways, you know, in order to obtain permanent residency other than that. But why this program is so popular is because every administration that comes around gives a little bit of a different spin to this administrative process.
Uh-huh.
In the Obama administration, I mean, you know, the EB-5 was also pretty strong, but with this new presidency that we have in place, he is one that obviously with the mindset of someone who does business, I like the idea of someone who's actually contributing to the United States in mm-hmm. a significant way. I have to prove that this investor who's going to invest $500,000 in the United States, I have to prove that 10 jobs for U.S. citizens are actually going to get created
yeah.
as a result thereof.
Okay, hang on, because people would think almost the opposite was true. They hear about Trump talking about immigration the whole time. He's talking about illegal immigration.
Absolutely.
He doesn't like illegal immigration.
Absolutely.
He doesn't mind migrants. As long as you're documented, as long as you're legal, as long as you're going to do what you say you're going to do.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, in fact, the Trump family have been great supporters of EB-5 for a number of years. A lot of their developments, they've raised a fair amount of their capital.
Most Trump's wives have been migrants of some kind.
Absolutely. Correct. But, yeah, I mean, the Trump and his inner circle are very, very much pro EB-5. The EB-5 program in its current format is under a lot of pressure by virtue of its popularity.
Yeah.
So we are expecting some major overhauls of the program. And in fact, there's a draft bill that has already been presented before Congress. And we're expecting that should be ratified as part of his next sort of steps as he gets back into the immigration realm.
All right, so tell me how we go about this. Do we get hold of you guys directly? I mean, imagine there's someone listening now who has decided they want to build a future for themselves, maybe for their children, maybe for the extended family in America. They want to now get in contact with you and start the process. What's the best way of doing that?
See, it could be either way. I mean, sometimes people find the investment first, where they like the investment first, and then they find a lawyer in order to help them with the green card aspect thereof. Other times they have the lawyer first to help them go find particular investments that we give a couple of options to that they can go.
And you can do either way.
Either way, yeah.
Okay. So again, what's the best way to get hold of you?
Yeah, I mean, Garrett, the easiest way would be for them to give myself or one of my colleagues a direct phone call or log on to our website.
What's your website?
It's www.american-eb5.com. We do a very quick sort of due diligence on an inward bound inquiry just to make sure that they meet the basic minimum eligibility test.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously we have a number of projects that we currently are busy promoting. So a number of our projects in the Florida region are sort of closing up. We're almost fully subscribed.
Mm-hmm.
We've got one which is very close to Leon City, Kansas City, which is a refurbishment of an old historic building into a hotel. And then we've got some nice, exciting projects coming out shortly, which will be based in Chicago. But that would make a simple application. We'd call them up. And then share some information related to the project.
And then they'd look at the investment and they'd go, yeah, this is something I'm interested in, or no, I'm not.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, it's critical that we get them to actually really understand the investment.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, EB-5 is really just a marketing tool to engage with a high net worth individual. We align ourselves to them for a period of 5 years. So during those 5 years, we tend to get to know the family unit exceptionally well, exactly what their aspirations are, and we hope to develop that relationship where they actually become seasoned investors of ours.
Right.
How long does the whole process take from application? So, I mean, you know, what if somebody is looking at it but only in a year or two's time? Should they start the process now?
Absolutely. I think it's worth evaluating, especially in light of some changes that are currently pending before Congress. I mean, they are talking about a significant increase in the minimum investment going from $500 to some talks over $950, some talks to over $1 million. So it's definitely worth engaging to talk about those time frames, because those time frames can be manipulated in many ways. So we have some doctors who said, hey, look, you know, I'm planning this more for my kid than I want to do it for me, but eventually eventually when I retire, I might want to go over there too. So there's some ways to manipulate it. But to answer your question, the adjudication times right now, based from USCIS, which is the government agency that oversees all of this, is about 18 to 24 months. Some cases we've seen go a little bit faster, but that's kind of the time frame that you can expect. Once the case is approved by immigration in the United States, then we process the application here at the consulate. That could add another 6 months or so.
Mm-hmm.
Once the consulate is happy with what's going on, they will give you an immigrant sticker that's good for 6 months. And within that 6 months, you just go make a trip to the United States. Unlike Australia, where you need to pack up and leave and sell everything you have to do immediately. I mean, you can make a trip into the United States, go activate your green card. Typically, we have those green cards shipped to our office. And then from there, we'll find out where you're at, and we'll ship the green card to wherever you're at. So we can manipulate those time frames. The only thing where it sometimes gets a little bit challenging with some of the high net worth investors that we represent is a guy who just sold his company. He's got a commitment to stick around for 5 years. Immigration says that if you're going to be out of the country for at least more than a year with a green card, we may have an assumption that you probably don't want to be a permanent resident anymore. Well, we can rebut that presumption by filing some additional paperwork with immigration that says, hey, look, this guy's not going to be here for another 2 years. And so we're letting you know ahead of time so that there's no sense of an assumption that he's abandoning his permanent residency.
Right. Those are obviously just fallbacks for them so that they can figure out whether or not people actually want to be a part of the system.
Yeah.
And some folks keep it as a fallback, just as a, hey, I can leave tomorrow, I can leave next year, I can leave 3 years from now.
Uh-huh.
But the timeline just from there is they give you a conditional green card, which is good for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Before that 2 years expire, then we'll go back to the regional center. Mm-hmm. We'll go show immigration that the investment is still at risk, which is a major component.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, that the jobs were created. Immigration then lifts that condition and give you a 10-year green card. And 5 years from the day you got that 2-year green card, when you're counted on, you'll be eligible for U.S. citizenship should you want to do so.
The South 5 years on, huh?
5 years. There is the eligibility criteria looking back after that 5 years is whether or not you've been in the United States accumulatively for 2.5 years to see if you're eligible. But other than that, the South African government, at least for right now, allows you to become a dual citizen if you file certain paperwork with them before you become a naturalized citizen.
So it sounds like you can have your cake and eat it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. Well, this is fantastic. So I'm sure that there'll be plenty of people who'd be interested in knowing more. You can head onto their website and you can go and find out more. Gentlemen, thank you so much for coming to spend some time with us today. The website is AmericanDream-EB5.com. And you can find out all the information there. Decide whether you want to first make an investment that you've seen, that you've had your eye on, and then figure out the legal qualifications afterwards, or whether or not you'd like to see the lawyer first and then decide on an investment.
And our website is www.versfeldlaw.com, like Loftus Versfeld.
VersFeldLaw.com, if you want to find out more there. So thank you so much.
Great. Thank you, Gareth. Thank you.
Absolutely. This is terrific. So the best immigration options to the U.S., EB-5, hopefully we've answered some of those questions, residency programs, EB-5 projects offered by the American Dream, and where in America you can start. I mean, all of these things can be answered. You can go along to the website. You can email the guys if you need to know more to find out how you can make your move. There we go.
Excellent.
Very, very helpful.
Thank you very much.
Cliffcentral.com.